This is Blackness in the Workplace, the podcast. We are on a mission to center, promote, build, and support the experiences and needs of Black professionals, both inside and outside the workplace, through collaboration, conversations, and activism. Our voices matter. Our lives matter. Our experiences matter. I'm your host and founder of Blackness in the Workplace, Jessica, and let's get this show started. Clarine Mitchell is the owner of TMC Communications, LLC, a social media branding firm based in Mekon, Wisconsin, that focuses on helping success-driven professionals and businesses effectively leverage LinkedIn to generate results. She holds a BA in interpersonal communications from Cardinal Stritch University. In addition to her entrepreneurial endeavors, Clarine is an accomplished journalist, community activist, and public relations professional. For more than 30 years, she has worked to craft the image of community-based organizations and advance issues of importance. Clarine is viewed as a reliable source for accurate and timely information, as well as branding guidance. She has worked on the executive team for a mayor and was the first public information officer for the City of Milwaukee Health Department. Her nonprofit work includes the Milwaukee Urban League, Black Health Coalition of Wisconsin, and the Medical College of Wisconsin, and others. Clarine has been a print journalist since 1991. Her writing has been featured in Milwaukee's mainstream newspapers and newspapers across the country, as well as local and national digital news media outlets. She was sought out to write a feature article in the summer of 2017's issue of Woman's Thing, which is a New York City-based magazine, and was a community affairs contributor for the nationally syndicated In the Know radio show based in Nashville, Tennessee. Both of these opportunities were generated by her social media activity. She added the title of author in 2019 when she published her book, Shine Online with LinkedIn. LinkedIn isn't just an online database of resumes, a book I highly recommend. Clarine hopes the book helps people understand LinkedIn better and empower them to leverage the platform in order to advance their digital footprints. In January 2021, Clarine's Shine Online Bulletin was recognized as a top pick. This distinction spotlights her as a thought leader for helping others enhance their networks and gain visibility on the LinkedIn platform. So welcome to the show, Clarine. I'm so glad to have you here talking with me about LinkedIn. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, you know, we've been connected on LinkedIn for quite some time now. And I remember when I came across your profile, I was like, I didn't know this someone like this existed in Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee is a big little town, as well as I like to describe it. So, I mean, I was always really impressed with your background and your passion for LinkedIn and the things that you do. So with that being said, if you can just, you know, talk a little bit more about your background. Why did you go into your, you know, starting your company, and then why LinkedIn?
Oh, wow. That may take the whole
It's a little loaded.
Take the whole show to say all of that. So Clarine Mitchell, I'm the owner of TCM Communications. And yes, my company is a branding focused company, but exclusively branding related to LinkedIn. Okay. So I work with my clients to help them zone in on their professional and business brands and learn how to effectively leverage LinkedIn to generate results. From my perspective, if you cannot automatically share results that you get from the platform, then something is missing with your approach to the platform. So I help my clients to be able to get results from LinkedIn. I started my business in the fall of, the summer of 2017. And I say I got, how should I describe it? It wasn't where I had this lifelong dream of becoming an entrepreneur, or I plotted and planned out. And it was just something I really had a passion for. It happened by accident, so to speak. It was forced upon me in a sense where I had a job separation in the fall of 2016.
Okay.
that rocked my world professionally after having a pretty good career as a print journalist, public relations professional, community activist. Had the job separation, went for almost a year without being able to secure employment. So from that, I created a job for myself by starting my business. Mm-hmm. And I believe in there, you asked me why LinkedIn?
Yeah, why LinkedIn?
So LinkedIn, so specifically when I was unemployed, of course, like many people, when you need a job, we have the mindset, oh, we need to go on LinkedIn and other, you know, websites too, but LinkedIn. So I had an account for a long time, hadn't used it really consistently prior to then. But then when I lost a job, needed to get a new one, I started using the platform more. In the process of using the platform more, I started discovering it and looking at it in a whole different way, because I was going beyond just the superficial approach to the platform to really discovering all the various features and opportunities the platform offered. So much to the point where I was getting results that I never even anticipated. Wow. A writing gig for a magazine out in New York City that I didn't pursue. They pursued me because of my increased activity on the platform. But during the process of being a job seeker, I was using the platform more, going to job networking events, meeting support groups, and members in those groups were seeing what I was doing on LinkedIn, wanted to meet for coffee after the meetings to find out, okay, Clarine, can you help me do this? Can you help me do that on LinkedIn? You know, and I was being nice, helping them, but I got to the point like, maybe I need to get paid for this.
Yeah, time to make that money.
Right, besides just coffee or hanging out with someone, because there was a need. I would help them. They would go on to get good jobs and I would be still unemployed.
Yeah.
So saw the need, because knowing and seeing for myself that so many people, they may know about LinkedIn, but just not know how to use it, know how to properly leverage the platform to get results. And that's where I come in. So I initially started my business that was more general, broad public relations, because that's my background, doing press releases, you know, branding overall, and editing and writing. But I really quickly then shifted to just zoning in on LinkedIn because the need that's there, the gap.
Yeah. I mean, I know for me, with my experience with LinkedIn, I think I created my profile, I want to say in college, because they just said create a LinkedIn profile, but they never taught you anything what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And very much like you, my profile just stayed there for years. I never touched it. I mean, I remember I forgot the login information. The picture was completely out of date. I mean, all of it. And then I started using it. And, you know, everyone's journey is different. I mean, for a long time, mine was just kind of like, hey, this is just my picture, my job history. That's it. But like you said, once you start utilizing it, there's a lot of tricks and things that you can use to finesse that platform, and you can create a brand and, you know, really, you know, you talked about opportunities coming to you. That's what you want. You know, you don't want to just keep looking for opportunity. You want people to come to you and say, hey, you know, I have this for you. Do you want to do this and do that? So, you know, with the LinkedIn platform, you know, from when you were on it, I don't know how old LinkedIn is. I don't know how old the company is.
So actually, that's a good question, because or point of conversation, because I say that Facebook, Twitter, and other platforms get all the love when it comes to social media platforms, and LinkedIn gets little to none. But LinkedIn officially started before Facebook did.
Oh.
They had their launch before Facebook. But again, the approach with LinkedIn, because it is the professional business platform, and a lot of people feel intimidated by or threatened by it, because the nature of the platform is so different than Facebook or others, especially Facebook, where you can just get on and do whatever you want, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter. There doesn't need to be necessarily a strategy to what you do as there needs to be on LinkedIn. So many people get shocked to know that LinkedIn has been around much longer. Well, not much longer, but longer than Facebook.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's also a reputation too. Like Facebook is like fun and, you know, you can do whatever you want. And
Wait. LinkedIn can be fun too, though. So
I think the reputation for LinkedIn for a long time was kind of like a grown-up version of Facebook. It was more of a professional Facebook. Right. So you can't get on there talking crazy or, you know, showing pictures of yourself and compromising positions because your name and your job and everything is tied to that. And I think that probably factored into why so many people were hesitant on LinkedIn and just, you know, you saw them as two very different platforms. So with your years of experience being on the platform and in the business that you do, how has LinkedIn changed in your opinion? For better or for worse, what are some of the things that you like with the changes that you're seeing? And that this could be a broad question, just whatever you feel, you know, is a good change or a bad change. And I will talk about the things that I've noticed with the platform, but I'll let you go first.
Another loaded question, Jessica. So with LinkedIn, there's been, of course, from my perspective, change for the good with the platform. Where it's become, especially after September of 2020, so September of last year, when they did a refresh to the look of the platform to make it more modern, more appealing, and different features that they've been adding. I do worry sometimes that they're trying to become too much like other platforms in a sense where, so I'm like, I get excited about certain things, but I'm like, okay, don't go too far with the LinkedIn. Let's just keep it the way the platform is supposed to be for professional.
They added content. Stories.
Right.
Which I thought was weird.
But I'm liking the feature of stories on LinkedIn. It's just how far will they go with that feature and other features? So it's that fine line. So again, it's become more modern. It's become more adding more features like the polling feature and different things that they experiment with now. Like you can publish newsletters on the platform. So I'm liking some of the adds to it. I'm just always fearful that it'll go too far to being, you know, similar to the other platforms. And then the nature of the platform, you know, there's no perfect platform, I say. So, yes, I'm a big proponent of LinkedIn, cheerleader for the platform. I've been able to create my business on the platform. But reality is it's not perfect. It's not flawless. And even, you know, there's people who creep on, so to speak, to the platform with certain behaviors or, you know, activity that's not conducive for professional and business activity. But that's a small percentage versus as it would be on other platforms. But I always like to bring people's attention to the fact that whenever you hear about in the news controversies with social media platforms,
yeah,
you rarely hear about LinkedIn, right?
Right.
When the politics was going on or still go on and certain platforms have to go testify before Congress, LinkedIn isn't a part of those conversations, right?
Right.
I'm a fan of LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
It's the fact that it's not 100%, it's not flawless.
Yeah. They are dragging a lot of companies in, Twitter, Facebook, you know, front of the Supreme Court, I think, because of, you know, the censorship issues and, you know, what type of content that they putting out there. And, you know, it's a mixed bag, but for the most part, LinkedIn has been really good about monitoring that extremism that happens on other platforms, which is really great because it has run amok on Twitter and Facebook and really have diminished the quality, in my opinion, of those two platforms. So I do give it to LinkedIn. I also agree with you about the concerns that I have with LinkedIn trying to be too much like Facebook and trying to be too much like Twitter and losing what makes them unique. The story aspect that they added to LinkedIn, that surprised me, but now Twitter has it too. Everyone has it. And I'm just like, oh, like, okay. I never really understood the stories part of it. I'm on social media, but I don't understand why stories was necessary. Some people like it, some people don't. But it is what it is. But in terms of content, you know, there has been this, when I first got on LinkedIn, like I said, you know, my profile was very sterile. It was just kind of like a picture of myself. My hair was straightened with a suit. And it was just like, Jessica Parm, this is where I work. And this is, you know me, you know that's no longer the case. You know, I'm very, very vocal about who I am and what I stand for and all that good stuff. But I do know that there was a time where there was an idea that any social, economic, political discussions, whatever side of the fence you fall on, did not belong on LinkedIn. It belonged on places like Facebook. And there's still some people who adhere to that for whatever reasons. How do you feel about that first? So I'm not going to give you a loaded question. I'm going to break it up a little bit. How do you feel about that ideology?
So things have changed. Yes. LinkedIn has evolved, just like people evolve and we go through our different journeys. LinkedIn has evolved. And so even if you look and see, when if you're editing or making edits to your LinkedIn profile and you go to change your banner image, mm-hmm. and you look and see that there's some templates that you can use if you so choose, related to social justice issues, whether it's Black Lives Matter or other, that you can use as your banner, that are pre-templated via LinkedIn. Going back to even the Black Lives Matter movement, during that time frame, LinkedIn was huge as far as putting out content and highlighting content regarding Black Lives Matter. Even think about earlier, January 6th, specifically the Capitol riots in DC, where LinkedIn was very quick to curate content related to that. But even so, for Black Lives Matter, even changing the logo in solidarity. Mm-hmm. So there, how should I say? So there is the fine line again with it not being extreme kind of viewpoints. There should be the opportunity to be have civil, so to speak, conversations and discussions with people, mm-hmm. To talk through issues. And it's social media, so there's an extent with how you can go with that sometimes. But to be able to have your views, they're allowed, but not to on LinkedIn. But yes, if it's to an extreme or derogatory to people or directly or attacking or in a threatening way, then LinkedIn, and I say rightfully so, because I've had it happen to me where there were attacks and those circumstances or individuals, I should say, I reported, they got blocked and removed from the platform, or content that I would see that would be inappropriate in my mindset and according to LinkedIn standards as well. They've recently updated their standards as well of what is acceptable for the platform. So I would encourage people to familiarize themselves with that information. But it's a fine line there, but information is allowed where people, as you were saying, Jessica, because as you say, your evolution from straight hair, suited mm-hmm. up and all of that.
Yeah.
I've gone through the evolutions as well to be our authentic selves. And we should be empowered to be our authentic selves on the platform.
Yeah, I definitely agree that there had been a lot of changes on the platform. For me, my journey, I know a lot of people were telling me, you want to be very careful about what you put out there because, mm-hmm. Employers can go out there and see what you post. And I remember, I posted an article when I was working at a former company about keeping receipts and documentation at work. That was pretty much it. And so then the pushback I got was, well, you're telling people not to like human resources or not to trust human resources, which you shouldn't, but that's another conversation. But again, like now my content is, it is what it is. I want to present a very clear picture of who I am. So I always tell employers or anybody who wants to work with me, I put my LinkedIn profile on my resume, is in the body of my email. I want to be very transparent about the things that I believe in, plus all the work that I'm doing. And if that's something that you can't rock with or you're not comfortable with, I use my LinkedIn as a litmus test. Some people do, some people don't. I want you to go out there and see what I stand up for. That way we can really not waste time.
Right. Everyone has to make that decision for themselves.
Right.
How far they can go with that, you mm-hmm. know, how far they can fully expose themselves, so to speak. People have to be their own barometer, litmus test for that, to say what their level of comfortability is.
It is definitely true. I mean, I get messages all the time from people when I post content, and people message me privately and say, look, I want to like your post, but I can't like this because my right. manager will see it, you know, and I always tell people, this is what I've chosen. And right. I would never force my views on other people. But, you know, there is a community, especially of Black people on the platform, who are speaking out about social justice issues. And it comes at a risk. It comes at a cost. You have people yeah. who make threats. You have people who threaten livelihoods. I mean, all of these things do happen.
Right.
But, you know, you make that decision when you put right. it out there. You have to own it, good, right. bad, or ugly. So right. I definitely agree with that, you know. You own that. Now, you talked about LinkedIn, you know, being, you know, pro, talking about Black Lives Matter and showing their solidarity. Are you aware that there are some Black people on LinkedIn who have accused the platform of censoring them? So, I mean,
yes, I'm aware of that.
Okay. So what are your thoughts about that?
That's not been my experience on the platform as okay. a Black woman. And, but I'm aware of that, those circumstances. I've read the article that was in the New York Times regarding, I've seen other posts and comments that people have said, and I hope they get resolution, you know, so mm-hmm. they can be their authentic selves and be able to leverage the platform to its fullest for their benefits. But that's not been my experience on the platform.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, honestly, ironically, it hasn't been mine either. And I'm like, I haven't been blocked or haven't had posts taken down. But I also know too that there are some people who are like very extreme, and you know, me, I tend not to be that extreme. So that's probably why, I don't know. I'm surprised with as much as I put out there, it hasn't happened yet. It might, now that I put that episode, somebody might challenge something that I wrote. But you know, it is what it is. So right. you know, switching the conversation a little bit here, I know that you shared with me a really good tip. We were at a networking event, and you talked about the app on the phone and how you can get on the app and find whoever else is on LinkedIn and connect with them. So
that was in the good old days when we could be in person
together. I know.
Now, we can't even use that. That
can't even use that feature
now because it's like irrelevant now because we're in, you know, quarantine status still. So
yeah. So yeah. with some of your knowledge, not giving away all your tips, what are maybe the top 3 or 4 tips you can share with someone on how to either get started on LinkedIn or how to maximize their exposure? I know some people are really big on connecting with like thousands of people. What are some of your tips on how to?
So let's deal with that one first.
Okay.
So my philosophy with LinkedIn as a LinkedIn coach, trainer, event speaker, and author is that it's about quality versus quantity. So as mm-hmm. I work with my clients, is to expand their connections, yes, because it's all about networking, but doing it in a quality way. And mm-hmm. just to give as an example, I often do it in a way where it's like I shake my head as I'm going through looking at profiles, because you can see people who have tons of connections, right?
Right.
Six figures, 7 figures of connections, but then they have no engagement when it comes to their content. You know, you would think, okay, this person has all these connections, then they should have a lot of engagement with their content. But the process, because they're in, you talked about how you may get, you know, censored or whatever because yeah. of stuff out there. So some people who hear this may get mad at me, but there's this, what's called the Lion community, LinkedIn open networker community.
Yes.
I'm not a fan of that process because I'm more about, again, quality versus quantity and building authentic community, right? Mm-hmm. So building your tribe, building your community, building a network of people who are like-minded or supportive of your your brand and mm-hmm. vice versa, where you're building that reciprocal relationship with people versus it being just about the numbers, because the numbers alone is not going to get you results on the platform. You have to put in the work in a broader way than just having the numbers. So I'm not a big numbers fan. Well, I'm not a numbers fan at all.
Yeah, I know for me, I did start off as a lion. No. I brought you on here because I want to hear your opinion. And I was a lion. And at first it was just, how many people can I connect with? It was like 20 people a day. Da-da-da-da-da. And after a while, I was just like, I have all these people. I don't know them. I never engage with them. They don't know me. And so, you know, I found the happy medium where, yeah, I have quite a few followers and connections, but I post content, I'm regularly engaged. And then I was able to build a little community of people who I know very well on the platform, who, you know, there's been opportunities to work together outside the platform. So like you said, I mean, just to be getting numbers just for the sake of numbers and you have nothing out there. I mean, I think that's weird. And, you know, I had somebody connect with me not too long ago and they had like, I think they were had like 500 connections with me. And I'm like, okay, I might know them. But then I looked at their profile and they had no content out there. It was just their job history. So,
No content, or they have content and little engagement. So yes, it's about building community. You build a small nucleus of community, and then you expand, continuously expand outside of that or broaden that. But so yes, quality versus quantity is the better approach.
Yeah, definitely. And then is there any other advice or things that you would tell people not to do on the platform?
So things not to do besides being about numbers, trying to be somebody else, I guess is the nicest way to say it, is create your own brand. Don't be copycats. Don't try to be trying to be more than who you are, overrepresenting or misrepresenting yourself, or just be authentic on the platform and true to who you are, and that are constantly evolved as you on the platform, but create your own unique brand on LinkedIn as opposed to trying to be like somebody else.
Okay. Have you seen a lot of people do that on the platform where they're copying content from other people, or, you know, maybe someone that you might know that's like presenting themselves in ways?
Yes, I've seen it a lot where, you know, especially where people try to get on the bandwagon of influencers thinking that's going to help them and it really doesn't, or trying to be like someone else or copying content and all of that. Yes, it does happen on the platform when it shouldn't. And
has anyone copied you? Copy any of your content? Oh, wow. Because I know you're out there too, and you know you have your brand, and I see TMC Communications. That sucks. People trying to copy. Yeah, and it does tend to happen. These so-called influencers on LinkedIn. I don't consider myself an influencer at all. I don't know if that's a title you can give yourself. I think that's a title others have to give you once you put in the work. And there are people who put that title in their what's it called, the job title. Yeah. And I'm like, influence? Who told you you were an influence?
Well, now, I mean, the term has taken a different turn with it or connotation with it, based upon the Kardashian kind of influence and you know how it is on Instagram and other platforms. And it really has the whole thing of the numbers associated with. And it's really where it's a one-sided approach, and no disrespect to the influencer, but it's really a one-sided approach. It's not the community building. It's like someone at this point who has all these individuals on LinkedIn, you know, swarming to their content and feeding into their content, but it doesn't go both ways. But what I've seen and talking, going back to your question earlier about the evolution on LinkedIn and changes, I've seen that many, especially even since I've had my business, who started out, you know, as these influencers are big on LinkedIn, and they're nowhere now, you know, because it takes a lot to be an influencer, and people sometimes crash and burn because it's just these whirlwind kind of approaches to the platform. And then that only will take you so far. And so my philosophy or my approach is kind of, you know, the fable, the children's fable, the tortoise and the hare, you know, yeah. is that tortoise approach where it's slow and steady, you know, yeah. and then you'll have that long-term approach or consistency and presence on the platform versus, you know, the quick, you know, approach where you're the influencer, but you're kind of like the flavor of the month or the year or whatever, and then you're gone.
Yeah. And then I guess one of my final questions is related to content, kind of in that same vein. What type of content should people be putting out on the platform, in your opinion? So whether it's, you know, articles or, you know, whatever content that they put out. I know for me, I publish articles on the platform. There's times where I maybe drop a meme just for humor, just, you know, content that I'm producing, all under the Black is in the Workplace brand. But for someone starting out, I guess, and they want to put content out there, how would you suggest they get started and what type of content they should put out there?
Well, first, I would say for them not to overthink the process. Many people paralyze themselves mentally by overthinking the process and making it more complicated than necessarily mm-hmm. necessary. And so my thing is to just do it, just get started. If you could scroll all the way back through my activity section from when I first started getting more active on LinkedIn, or if I could and I look at it now, I'd be shaking my head at myself because it's like, for real, Clarine, you did that? That's what you posted? You know, mm-hmm. so it's just to get started and then create your brand and evolve and get better as you go mm-hmm. With the content. So content-wise, just it, whatever the content is, it should be personifying what your area of expertise is. Because that's the whole thing on LinkedIn. It's supposed to be about your brand, whether it's your professional or, you know, business brand. So personifying that so people start to gravitate or recognize you as a subject matter expert.
Yeah, definitely. One thing that LinkedIn recently did is that when you post content and when people engage, you actually get a notification now on your phone. So you post a picture or what have you, and if you like it, I'll get a notification that says, Clarine liked your picture, or she posted a comment. That is very new, because I remember when I post content, I would have to go, you know, check and make sure that I'm engaging with people, because there was never any notifications that they engaged with it at all. So that's a new feature for people who are trying to build up that engagement, that LinkedIn actually now gives you notifications saying, okay, people have interacted with your content.
That's been pretty much the standard. Is they sometimes they send now, what's more new is they'll send notifications to say people are engaging with Jessica's post about, that's more of a feature where they'll push that. So now a lot of the efforts have been, unfortunately, because people still are not understanding the importance of engaging on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the prompts that LinkedIn is doing is to encourage more engagement. So there's different levels to the notifications, but don't have the false sense of security, Jessica, that you will always get a notification when someone engages. So you still sometimes have to scroll your newsfeed, and then you may discover, because I do that all the time now, I don't necessarily get or receive notification every time someone engages. I'll be scrolling my newsfeed and see, and I'm like, oops, let me respond real quick because I don't receive the notification.
Okay.
Or my rule of thumb is, especially if it's a certain piece of content that I know will get some engagement, I go back to my activities, to that original post. So I'll go back into my activities section to that post to be able to see what's the latest comments or the latest reactions. So I'm not leaving any comments without any responses to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, sometimes people will have questions, you know, or, you know, want some clarity on some content or whatever it may be. So definitely go back and check and see, you know, what it is. I know that I get pings on my phone now because I have the app on there. And that has helped, but I do still like to go back and refresh the page and just make sure that I'm engaging as much as possible without burning myself out now. But I mean, I like engaging with people on my content and, you know, talking to people and helping people out. I mean, it's gotten to the point now, like I said, I get DMs all the time from from people who are like, yeah, I need advice on this, or, you know, I really like your post and, you know, this is what's going on. I mean, that's just what I have done. But like you said, too, it's also a really good opportunity for opportunities if you leverage the platform in the right way. So, this has been a really good conversation. We can go on and on and talk about the different things of LinkedIn, but for the sake of time, just having that conversation and making sure that people are aware that this is an amazing platform that has evolved. It will continue to evolve. I actually have a friend from high school who works at LinkedIn as a UX designer. I don't know what that means, but he works there. So, and he was on the podcast. User experience. Oh, you know more than me. I was just like, he's a UX designer. I don't know. And I should, because he talked about it, but, had him on here and he was talking about the great things at LinkedIn too. So, Clarine, how can folks reach you if they want more advice on LinkedIn or to hire you for your services?
So thanks for having me. The time did go fast, Jessica. Mm-hmm. It's a great conversation. So my business is all about LinkedIn. So teaching people how to really use the platform, understand it, use it, and get results from it. And so the best way to contact me is LinkedIn. I use the platform in a very comprehensive way, meaning whatever people need to know about me or figure out how to access me is via LinkedIn, whether it's recommendations from clients who talk about their success in working with me, or whether it's my sizzle reel, they can access that from my featured section or my price list, service offerings. All of that is comprehensively, embodied within my LinkedIn profile. But the best way to contact me is LinkedIn. So sending me a connection invite. And if you would like to talk about the services that I offer, send me a direct message on LinkedIn.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to be on the podcast. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We sure did. New episodes every Sunday. So connect with us in the Tea Room, a members-only safe space on our website, blackmissintheworkplace.com, or follow us on our social media pages. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our Twitter page is always on and popping. So until next time, peace and love.